This is Extreme Vocabulary, a podcast that I've only heard good things about. I'm Josh.
I'm Abraham.
He's Efren.
This is Aaron.
And every day on Extreme Vocabulary, every single day, we get together and we talk about a word. Abraham usually does the research, and none of us else do, except Efren, who finds a literary reference, which we'll get to later. But today's word is...
Drive.
Drive.
I didn't do too much research for this word.
Okay.
So I don't know if you wanted to turn this podcast into a free-for-all, a Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Well, no? If we're going that way, I already got the song.
Oh, we all have a song. It's Drive by the Cars.
Yes.
What?
Oh, I thought it was going to be Drive by R.E.M.
I thought it was going to be Drive by Incubus.
You're stuck in the 90s, pal. I got another one. Baby, you could drive my car.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We had a Beatles one, though, recently.
Yeah, we did.
We had a Beatles.
That was the edict, yeah.
But it's got to be the Cars Drive.
That's what I was thinking, too.
It's got to be.
That's not the best car song.
Two out of four.
I have a different song that doesn't have the word drive, but I think fits in with the topic. But yeah, I think Baby, You Can Drive My Car, those lyrics definitely go with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, we jumped the gun, I think.
We can go anywhere.
We're at the end of the podcast.
We're at the end.
Well, it's a free-for-all, right?
The end is the beginning is the end, yeah.
Pumpkins.
Abe, what can you tell us about the word drive? How old is it? Where is it from?
Drive is one of those really nice and beautiful Middle English and old Anglo-Saxon words, you know? Uh-huh. They're just like nice and simple that don't come from like a bunch of other languages. And a lot like being translated and then have their meanings changed and all that.
So Middle English, it would be drive.
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 Yeah. And then the Anglo-Saxon D-R-Y-F, which is pronounced trief.
Trief.
Because the F is a V sound and the Y is your
Drief the Wagon on the pilgrimage.
It's kind of one of those words that's interesting to me because, it must have existed before there were wagons, right? The word.
No.
Yes.
Wait, oh, maybe, yeah.
No, yes. Yeah.
So.
Because it's a verb first, right? Uh-huh. It's to drive because you're driving the sheep. You're forcing them to go like a certain way, or the goats, or whatever.
It's to force something to go a certain way, or something like that.
Yeah, or to use force on something.
Drive. I just think of prehistoric situations where somebody would need to use that word, you know, and it's different, I guess. You can drive something into wood, but is that called like boring or something like that?
Mm-hmm. We covered that.
We did that word already.
Boring.
Boring.
That's right.
No, but yeah. You can say driving the axe through the wood.
You drive nails into wood.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. One can also have drive, which is moving yourself, right? Like to have drive is one who moves themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's like the psychological use of that word.
Your sex drive.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a verb first, and then we later, like the way we use it in psychology, it becomes
a
noun.
Can I make a
noun? Yeah.
We later nounatize it.
Nounatize? We should do that more often. We should make up words.
Oh, there's another podcast idea.
Yeah.
But it's still positive. Whether it's the verb or it's the noun, it's something with a lot of energy behind it. And control, power.
You can drive somebody insane.
Yeah.
Is that having control or is that something you do on accident? I feel like that's something I do on accident. You're driving me crazy.
This podcast is not about you relieving yourselves of responsibility.
All right.
Well, I do think that there is... It's not positive or negative. It's probably just like neutral or whatever, right? It's force. Like it doesn't have morals or something like that. It's just, you know, it's energy being directed, you know?
Directed energy.
Yeah.
Motion might be involved.
Momentum.
Yeah.
You don't have to have momentum to drive, but it helps. Torque.
It's cause, it's force, it's...
It's interesting. It's interesting that drive is not one of those like fundamental physics terms. You know what I mean? Like torque, momentum, velocity.
That's true. That's because we're taking all those words from like Latin and Greek. Yeah. You know, like we don't consider English words to be science. Okay. So they're taking a momentous is definitely a Latin word, I think. Yeah.
What about torque?
Torque?
Yeah.
That sounds Anglo-Saxon, right? Torque? Because you've got all those ugly...
Torque my pork for me.
Yeah. Torque.
Torque.
So you can also use drive as the word for riding hard on horseback.
Drive hard or ride. They would usually say ride hard. Yeah, but
driving.
Driving
hard on the...
You can drive hard. Yeah, sure. It's interchangeable. Sounds like ride, drive.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's drive as in driveway or, you know, like Rodeo Drive, you know, the name of the street. But I think that comes back to the idea of like driving the sheep, right? Like, or the cattle or whatever animal, right? That you're to drive them, you're driving them back home so that place where they enter becomes like the entrance place to your home, the garage or something like that. So that's what you call your drive, the driveway.
Your driveway, my drive, yeah. Pull into the drive, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you can drive down Rodeo with a shotgun.
These people ain't seen a...
Brown skin man.
Since their grandparents bought one.
Wait, what's that?
It's a Rage song.
Down Rodeo by Rage Against the Machine.
So yeah, so anyway, it's all about force and energy and to impel. What else? You can all drive. Oh, so in golf, a drive. Well, you guys golf, right? Or you've done golf sometimes. I've never golfed. So is a drive?
I've been to the driving range. That's about it.
Is drive like a specific kind of hit, or is it
that's when you're just doing the first opening hit, the big with the big club, you know? Because normally you would, he knows more obviously about this, but the each club is numbered for like a certain type of terrain or a certain type of grass or a certain type of situation on the on the green. But when you're just driving it, it's on the little pin, and then you just hit it, whack at the hell out of it. But you got to have that torque and body English to, you know, actually get a distance and all that.
Body English.
Yeah.
So you have like that heavy.
Yeah, it's the big heavy, like little hammer and head on the bottom of the driver. It's called the driver. Yeah.
Ah, driver. Okay.
And it should be weirdly easy, even though you're trying to hit it as far as you can. It's you're not hitting it as hard as you will with if you're trying to get it out of the sand or like hitting it with an iron.
You
like
can't just whack the hell out of it, right?
You gotta be like smooth.
Yeah, you gotta go with the motion, yeah.
There's also computer drive.
The hard drive.
But why does that mean that? Soft
drive. Hard memory.
Because does it go back to like when you actually had discs?
Hard discs,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you have a disc.
Your A drive and your B drive, right?
You put it in the drive, yeah. It's...
Yeah, but why was it called a drive?
Because you have to... I mean...
You're making like a motion like you drive in the disc.
Yeah. Like, I mean, because it's literally like a pathway by which you drive the...
Information?
It's the drive, yeah. It's the drive. You have to put something in it, right?
Yeah, but can't you just call it the insert or something?
Well, that's obscene.
Insert the drive. Obscene. Hey, we're a family-friendly show here.
The penetrator.
Yeah, my left.
The computer penetrator.
Boy, we love Apple.
Cut this out in post, please.
Drive. Well, maybe it's called a drive because you need it for the information to get from
point
the
a
software.
To B. From point A to B.
To the hardware. Yeah, maybe.
There we go. Problem
solved. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so one more. There's, and this is the obvious one, of course, the one we're all thinking about, and the primary way through which we know the word drive, which is drive a vehicle. But again, that's, I guess that's How is that a force, though? Is that us as the force, or what?
Motor engine is the force. Combustion is occurring in the engine, and that's driving.
But why do we call what we do driving?
Oh.
As because you're supposed directing... to saying the car drives.
You're determining the direction in which it goes.
The car drives us. And we are actually just steering.
Well, right. We're also putting gas. We're also pressing on the gas.
We don't say drive the ship. We say steer the ship too, right? So we don't.
Oh, I think you can drive a ship. I'm not sure, but I feel like I've heard it recently.
I haven't heard it. Mostly it's like you steer, you know. Yeah. You're at the helm, you know. These are metaphorical terms
boat.
Too.
I think you drive a boat, though.
You can drive a motorboat because there's an engine.
Oh, right? You drive a boat, but you sail a ship.
Yeah.
Or something. Or
but
steer.
Not all ships have involve sails either. Some are big ocean liners, which have, you know, engines too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway,
but we don't always like invent new words just when new technology comes out too.
Right.
Sometimes we just use all the old words to describe the new thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the difference here? I'm steering the conversation versus I'm driving the conversation. What is the...
Driving sounds a lot more...
Purposeful. Yeah. Purposeful.
Like you're saying
energetic. Yeah.
And I'm steering it as I'm just guiding it. I'm like not exerting maximum force.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like... Sorry.
I just imagine somebody listening to that like, wait, what was that again? Can you explain
that? That was like a nudging motion with...
Aaron's very bad at podcasting. He makes a lot of gestures.
And thank goodness. Thank goodness you can't see them all.
Yes.
I'm making one right now.
Actually, I think they could see that one.
They could see that one. That was universal.
That wasn't for Apple. That was for our producer. We love Apple.
All right, so let me steer the conversation, not drive it. So let me steer it a little bit toward the psychological things that we're talking about. So Freud talks about two drives in the human psyche. One is the sex drive.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is the death drive.
Or
Eros and Thanatos.
Eros and Thanatos.
Yeah. I'm not really sure that Freud called them that. I think he just called them something like the pleasure principle.
He called it something in German.
Yeah, the pleasure principle, and then I don't know, the death, what, maybe death principle, I guess, also something like that.
I could look that stuff up.
But they're motivations.
Yeah, they're, are they mo-
was
I don't
it
know
death wish is that death wish is that what he called it
I guess yeah you could call it a death wish. His language is so weird. Like the way he describes the death drive what does he say? He says
the death drive is
an organ desires inorganicity or something, or desires to be inorganic. Because that's what happens to you when you die. You become inorganic.
So the death drive is in German is Todestreiber. Todestreiber.
Cool.
You're the only one who could pronounce that.
I don't even think I'm pronouncing it well. Beyond the pleasure principle. Okay, what does he call that one? Todestreiber, often referred to as Thanatos. Very good. Where's the other one?
Isn't that going to be in Avengers 3 or something?
That's Thanos.
Which means death in Greek.
He's the father of, what's her face, Gamora, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and her sister.
Right? Who's going to be the most driven? I'm going to try to steer back. Who's going to be the one to kill Thanos? Like, if there's one person to deliver the finishing move on Thanos, and is it related to their motivation to make love or die?
It's going
to
be Vision.
No, it's going to be Adam Warlock. I already know this.
Yeah, I have the comic books too.
He came out in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like that gold figure that they show. Yeah. That
oh,
they
the,
created.
The Sovereign.
You think they're going to build him up that well, that fast, to make him the one to do it?
I don't know, but in the comic books, he is the one who can like defeat Thanos.
Okay.
And get the power glove back.
Do you think he represents the pleasure principle?
The pleasure principle. Perfect segue here. German is Lustprinzip. Lust.
So, okay, so I am a comic book nerd. So the reason Thanos wipes out like a third of all life in the universe with that, what's it called again? The Infinity Gauntlet? I called it the Power Glove, like if it was Nintendo. But it's the Infinity Gauntlet. So he uses like all the power of the gems to like wipe out a third of all living things because he's offering it as a gift to his lover, Death. Oh. He's in love with Death.
Okay.
Which is like a personification of Death, but also an actual character who's female, apparently.
And Adam Warlock, Adam represents like the first man, right? Or that name.
Yeah.
Has that intertextuality. So he represents life or something?
I'm not sure.
Does he also represent pleasure? Because he looks kind of like, what's his name from? He looks like the creature from, what's that movie? Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, like Frankenfurter?
He doesn't look like Frankenfurter. He looks like, wasn't it called the creature? The guy who comes out in his spandex bikini and has, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not that big of a fan. I've watched it, but I don't, like, remember everything about it.
I remember Adam Warlock now.
He looks very 70s, right? He has a big collar.
Got the blonde Brady Bunch hair. Yeah.
That movie just came out on Netflix, by the way. Guardians 2.
Guardians 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw it recently, too. That's why I was thinking about it.
So
I do think it's interesting that both of those drives are like put together, you know, that like Freud came up with like this idea about
Todesfeiber and Lustprinzip.
Yeah, that.
The death drive.
That, like, he thinks of like the pleasure principle as this thing that this force within us. Oh, right.
Okay. I just showed Abe a picture of the creature. From Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah,
he looks like Adam Warlock.
Yeah, totally like this gold figure or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to think of those two things together, right? Like the death drive and the sex drive are like working together all the time or something like that.
Well, every time we orgasm, it's the little death.
Yeah. That's right. It's called
We've covered this before, I think. But yeah.
How are they related? Do they keep us from doing one or the other? Are they, like, opposed?
I'm not sure.
Sex creates life.
But, yeah. But, you know, like, the
Rocky Horror... But we're not always doing it.
Like, the Rocky Horror film is kind of about... Well, is it about S&M, right? There's some kind of, like, S&M element to it, right? Even though, like...
Sure.
I mean,
we
get a sense of like the sex drive that's like making this film, right? That there's this like sex drive behind like everything that they're up to here, right? In this movie about like transgender or something like that. But at the same time, it's like a punishing thing, right? Because the point of the sex drive is that you're experiencing pleasure or that you're seeking pleasure. But what kind of pleasure could there be in getting whipped?
I see. So if you can mix those together, it's really cool.
It's really cool.
Thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Well, it's like if you know that you know, quote unquote, that you're supposed to reproduce or whatever, but death reminds you that there's a timeline for that, right? So I think that's how they're related, right? Death it creates a clock. So the clock drives the sex drive too, right?
Oh, right. That mortality, knowledge of mortality drives us to procreation.
Right. I think so. Yeah. I think both on a practical level and on a
psychosomatic, biological level.
Philosophical level, for that matter.
That too.
I think that's how they're related. That's how I would describe them.
But that's not what the death drive is.
What is a death drive then?
I don't think the death drive is awareness of death. It's like wanting to die.
Hurtling towards it. Like headlong.
Right. Yeah.
Which seems like the most dumb thing that Freud ever said, maybe. You know, like, I don't think that that drive is real.
You don't think so? What about suicide? I mean, the whole reason he came up with it was because there were certain things he couldn't explain, right? Mm-hmm. He had, like, he had already written about the pleasure principle, which is, you know, the sex drive, right? Like, we're always looking for pleasure and things like that. But then he couldn't explain why some people then would commit suicide or why...
Or why we do stupid things.
Or just people who have gone to war, they don't just remember trauma, for example, like people who have... what's the
PTSD.
Word
again? PTSD.
PTSD. All right.
Reliving so, trauma?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome, disorder. Right? Okay, so he couldn't explain why people who had been to war didn't just remember what happened to them, but relived it.
Yeah, flashbacks.
And that if it was true that there's like a pleasure principle that like drives us, right? Like that pleasure principle can't explain that. So that there has to be something that within us, right? Some drive, something that forces us to seek.
Relive trauma and seek resolution to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And death and all of that. And to experience death again within the psyche or something like that.
That's interesting, but I would answer those two issues particularly in different ways. I'd say suicide is sort of I think for a lot of people might represent a desire to like get back into the conversation, to make people talk about you again. If you feel like your own life is inert, then that could be a way to actually invigorate your essence a little bit. To write a suicide note or do something dramatic in that fashion. I don't know.
Is it a type of immortalizing yourself in a way?
Yeah.
I'll always be
it's a way of this. I heard somebody say this, that it's a way of re-entering a conversation. A conversation that has revolved around suicides. Mm. And as regards to PTSD, you could just say maybe those are just... memories that they're trying to work out to create a different solution, like a dream or something like that. Like they do run through it in their mind, but it's because their mind is so distracted by the particulars of that situation and trying to work it out so that either if it happens again, they can take a different path or something like that.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, Freud is, to me, some of what he says sounds just like crazy and all that. But then, I don't know. I mean, like, you have to think about him, you know, like he's writing. When is he writing this stuff? Like
late 19th century, early 20th, very early.
Right. So like he's writing among like the horrors of like, you know,
Franco-Prussian War before.
Yeah, before that, and then like moving into World War One and all that, you know.
Before
like,
that happened, yeah. Oh yeah. He did live through World War One partly, right? I think, or then he died.
I should look up his
dates, but yeah. So this is the all that anxiety going on in the early 20th century, basically leading up to what happened in 1914.
There was some real intense PTSD after World War One.
Yeah,
they used to call it shell shock. Like for back in the World War One days, they're like, oh, they're shell shocked, and then they changed it in World War II to battle fatigue, and then in Korea they called it operational exhaustion or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally when we get to Vietnam it became post-traumatic stress disorder,
and now we can use it for anything.
We use it for a lot of things. It's like I have PTSD from that horrible meeting I had, you know, which is like silly and stupid, you know, not the same thing, but yeah.
Well, maybe trauma or something like that is a word we could do in the future.
That would be fascinating.
All right. Well, anyway, there's one object that we have today that I think definitely brings together, and in my mind, of course, because all of this is only in my mind, and that brings together the sex drive and the death drive.
Okay.
The automobile.
Oh, ooh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
The car.
Nice.
Back seat or front seat? Pick your poison.
No, it's just like, the car is the thing we drive, first of all,
sorry,
right?
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before, let's get this out of the way before you get serious. How many of us have experienced the backseat pleasures?
Aaron, let's just skip this part of the show.
Okay.
I appreciate your gesture.
So, yeah, okay. So, I think the car today really combines the sex drive and the death drive. I think all I'm thinking about is the way we sell cars, like in TV commercials, or at least there was a time when it was more prevalent. I don't think we do that as much anymore. I don't think car commercials do this, right? Do they sell like cars with sex?
Matthew McConaughey, you imagine that he gets sex. So by becoming him, you can maybe.
Wait, did he do a car commercial or something?
He's doing like, yeah, tons of car commercials. I think really? It's for Infiniti or something like that.
Huh. Okay.
It's usually his character. Lately, it's been his character from True Detective, where it's like he's dark and morose and broody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You think he is the character from True Detective in an Infiniti?
That's, you know, he's playing that character in that commercial. It's pretty. It's even looks like him. He shaved and everything, just the way he used to when he was younger.
Yeah,
in the portrayed younger in the show, yeah.
Huh.
Well, part of the reason why those commercials got the attention they did was because they were sort of a different tone that we had been seeing with car commercials, which I think car commercials
were off-roading, like
off-roading, whoosh, the car, and like or very practical, right? Like, oh, this is safe, and you have your family,
5-seater,
yeah. But the Matthew McConaughey car commercial is this weird philosophical, morose guy like talking in his head while he's driving the car.
I think of that character as the death drive.
Oh, okay.
In that show, like he's like the death drive right there. Like everything that he discusses.
Wasn't that first season so great?
So yeah. Nietzschean.
And Woody was definitely the pleasure principle, right? Woody.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Couldn't keep it in his pants.
Have you seen the first season of it?
No. No, I didn't.
Oh, man. You should watch it.
I saw the first episode, though. It was good.
Yeah.
But I hear it's
there's only like six or seven, so yeah, it's not that bad to get through.
Yeah.
But again, the sex and the death drive do like combine toward the end because we find out that it's like about...
Spoilers.
Like, yeah.
No, it's about something. What? Oh, it's like a ritualistic sex cult.
Yeah, that like murders sex children.
Cult, right?
Yeah.
All started with Dora Lang.
Yeah. So, like,
you know what I was so confused by the other day? I saw a headline that said, "Naked woman covered in blood runs out of burning building with a herd of pigs," or something like that. And it was during the California fires. This is a Fox News story, by the way. It was during the California fires. So I was wondering if Fox News was suggesting that, like, somebody caught this person in the middle of, like, a sex cult thing. Turns out the Thai food's here. We won't talk about that for a little bit. We'll be right back.
And maybe find some literature.
Talk to you later. Each week on Extreme Vocabulary, I bug Efren and I try to get him to find a word. I mean, today's word, as it exists in a piece of literature. And you found something for us today, yeah?
I did. After many trials and tribulations and hours of research, I have managed to find the word drive in a piece of literature.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, this one comes from 1984, a 1984 collection of vignettes called The House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros. So, a book that many of us have probably read and taught and heard of. For a while, it was kind of like the, like, Latina text that would ever be taught in any school. We're in a different time now, but this was an originator. It was an originator. Do you want me to just kind of get into it here?
Sure.
So, as I said, this is, it's filled with vignettes, and this one's called Those Who Don't. And you'll see that it contains the word drive. Those Who Don't. Those who don't know any better come into our neighborhood scared. So just, I should say that these vignettes are a young girl's life in Chicago, and just each of them describe some little aspect of her life. It's first person. Those who don't. Those who don't know any better come into our neighborhood scared. They think we're dangerous. They think we will attack them with shiny knives. They are stupid people who are lost and got here by mistake. But we aren't afraid. We know the guy with the crooked eye is Davey, the baby's brother. And the tall one next to him and the straw brim, that's Rosa's Eddie V. And the big one that looks like a dumb grown man, he's Fat Boy. Though he's not fat anymore, nor a boy. All brown, all around, we are safe. But watch us drive into a neighborhood of another color, and our knees go shakety shake, and our car windows get rolled up tight, and our eyes look straight. Yeah, that's how it goes and goes. But watch us drive into a neighborhood of another color.
I like the fact that, you know, we're talking about drive as having a lot of control and controlling your destiny, or controlling the destiny of something. Sheep, vehicles, a piece of wood. But here, as they drive into another neighborhood, it seems like they lose control over how they're being perceived. On the other hand, they're just in a car, and drive could just mean that that was their mode of transportation. So I wonder if you think that there is a deliberate or a poetic choice in this text.
Yeah, I think here, of course, to state the obvious, like, drive is meant to signify a movement, right? A geographic movement, spatial movement, from one space to another. And also to imply that there's a certain insulation to it, right? Driving in a car and into another neighborhood implies a sort of movement into an unfamiliar space. You know, so it's not like it's common to the family. It seems like driving is something that's driving to a neighborhood of another color is something that doesn't happen that often. So that's why it's mentioned, right?
So what is she getting at is that if they drove into a black neighborhood, let's say for example, they would get all like, oh my god, look at this, roll up our windows.
Yeah, they're showing that it kind of, it cuts both ways here, right? Like, there's this sort of separation, this like in a bubble, right? Insulation, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to talk about the elephant in the room a lot of times, the Latino-Latina penchant for perpetuating racism that isn't against their particular flavor, if you will.
Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, I don't know, it doesn't mention that specifically here, but it does sort of imply that, yeah. Yeah, like anti-blackness. And,
yeah, we know that's a thing.
Anti-indigeneity.
Oh, yeah. Dumb Indian, yeah. Yeah. That kind of insult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still very much perpetuating the white is beautiful and, you know, European and Spanish is good and indigenous and, you know, native is sucio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about the use of the word drive here is it does remind me of what we were talking about earlier, where you drive something into a piece of wood, something like that. And I'm thinking of like bits or something, drill bits. Do they get...
Drill bits get drilled.
They get drilled.
Hammers get driven. I mean, hammers. Nails get driven by hammers.
Okay, like a nail. Mm. Or they get hammered. Mm. But when you drive into some, when you drive into something, you're surrounded by everything else that's not you, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Like the nail is surrounded by wood or wall or whatever. Plaster, yeah. And so for them to drive, it shows how much control you have when you drive, and also how alienating it is at the same time.
I think that's what I was taking from that part, yeah.
Oh, another song possibility, Driven to Tears.
All right, so songs. What is Driven to Tears?
It's The Police.
Oh, I don't know that
you
one.
You know that one. You know that one.
I've never heard it. I don't think I've ever
driven
heard it.
Driven to Tears. Driven to Tears. That's like the chorus, right? It's really like, it's really reggae, like a beat, you know. Yeah, very driven, bass driven. There we go.
Oh, Driven to Tears. That's weird.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Possibility, but we have a lot of other choices too that are just as good.
Do you remember the REM song that I was talking about, Drive?
Yeah, I just don't remember how it goes, but as soon as I hear it, I will.
Is that the one that's like, Jack, Jack, pack a lack, tie another one
that
to
one.
Your back,
that baby. One, yeah. Yeah,
does that drive?
I think that is, right? I think that is.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I never remember the name, yeah, because it's not related to the lyrics. Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Or it could be in there, I just didn't hear it.
I don't know, yeah.
I want a song that says something about sex and death.
Oh.
Well, it ain't Incubus, buddy.
No, it's not. Because it's such a positive song, right? About, like, it's kind of about taking control of yourself, or something like that. By driving.
And it's acoustically driven.
Oh, his idea in that song is, like, if you keep sober, then you can drive your life better. Something like that, right?
So the Incubus one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choose the water over wine, hold the wheel and drive. Yeah.
Well, what about the Cars one? That's about...
Who's going to drive you home tonight? It's more like a lamenty love kind of song.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
Maybe well, it's like lost love.
Yeah. Baby, you can drive my car. Like, do you think in that message, is there an implication that you might die?
Baby, maybe the not. beep part is the before the day.
You know what? I take it. I got a better one than that. And okay. This is weird. Don't worry, baby.
The Beatles, I mean the... Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys.
How is the driving there?
That's about a guy. That's about a guy saying that he's going to race against his friends because he said that his car was like really fast and it upset them, and they're like, "Okay, prove it." And then he's going to race his car, and his girlfriend's like, "Don't worry, you'll be okay. Don't worry, baby." Where does the word "drive" happen in it? I think it does happen. Baby, if you knew how much I loved you.
Oh. Well, it's a great song. It would be a good outro, definitely. Almost all of them are great choices.
So yeah.
Be a tough one to figure out.
But I think that one has love and sex specifically, and I think it has the word drive in it.
There's a song that doesn't have drive in it, but it is about driving. And it's an instrumental song by Jack Nietzsche called The Last Race. And... it's kind of, you know, the title of the song kind of tells you everything, right? It's about, like, somebody who's driving, you know, their last race, you know, with the implication, of course, of death being the impediment to continuing driving. Oh. But it has nothing to do, I think, with love or sex.
Mm.
It's funny how some words were, like, stumped for, like, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and then like drive, we had it before we even started the podcast. We had multiple choices.
Yeah.
Well, driving is obviously a huge part of American culture.
Especially Southern California culture.
And people, yeah, that's true. And people really
GTO.
Like writing about it for some reason. Okay. She makes me come alive and makes me want to drive when she says, "Don't worry, baby."
Pretty good.
Just add it to the pot.
Can I share a statistic with you that I wrote down?
Yeah.
I didn't do too much research, but I do have the statistic. So in the U.S. in 2015, there were 32,166 fatal motor accidents.
What?
That's in 2015. 32,166. Mm. You know how many people died in those 32,166? 35,092.
Oh, wow. It's like a war out there.
Yeah, it was like many people in each car, you know? Yeah.
It's like almost 10% of the population of the country right there.
No, it's not.
No.
No. No, it's not. It's not that.
Yeah.
Maybe 0.1 or something like that.
No, because we only have like 350, 375 million.
Yeah.
And then that was 35,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it's, you know, 8% or whatever.
That can't be right.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of, wait, oh, not 100,000, never mind. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do math. I shouldn't attempt to do math.
It's like 0.1 or something, right? 0.01 or something like
that. Oh, that doesn't sound...
That would be crazy, though, if one out of every 10 people you know dies just because we drive to work every day.
It seems like it. It would be.
What if, yeah, if like the speed limit was like 120 or something like that.
Or like in the Autobahn.
Maybe there'd be less accidents.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, you know what's funny is that, like, imagine how many accidents there were. Because that was just fatal, right?
Yeah.
Imagine how many accidents. That's like astronomical.
So right? Annoying.
There's an accident on the 405 like every day.
Every day. Yeah, every 10 day. There's one on the 10 every, at least once every couple of hours.
So much adding to the traffic, or the traffic like creates the conditions for the accidents.
Did you, were you guys around, it was sometime last week, but two accidents happened almost back to back on two different freeways in LA, where a car drove in the wrong way to go to the freeway.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It can happen, and I don't know how.
They would have to do this
kind actually, of... Actually, I almost did that once.
No, there's certain on-ramps, like in Highland Park. Like in Highland Park, yeah, they're confusing
somewhere. That is true.
Yeah. Like, it's just right next to each other. There's two little streets that are just... It's just... They're adjacent.
Yeah, yeah.
And one goes out, one goes in. And if you're just driving and you go in to turn, you might think, oh, maybe it's the left-hand one. I don't know.
Oh, that's because that part of the one... That's the 110,
right? That's the 110.
That part of the 110 freeway was like... super old.
It's the oldest freeway
design. It's the oldest,
the oldest freeway ever.
It's like,
yeah,
super old freeway design where you gotta exit at like 5 miles per hour.
It's a parkway. Literally, it's a parkway. Yeah, it's not a real freeway.
Yeah.
That's why it's like the speed limit's super low there.
Yeah, dude, it's like 45 in some areas.
It's so windy.
It's narrow, too.
People
narrow
are driving fast.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be 65 there.
Yeah.
They used to, it wasn't called the parkway before, and I was like, am I really supposed to be doing this? I'm like,
a little dangerous.
Glued to the back of my seat. But no, I did that once. I once almost drove onto the wrong side of the freeway. But fortunately, there's like lights that shoot back at you, the red lights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you are going the wrong way with your headlights on, all of a sudden all the reflectors are red. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you've had too much and
too much cheer.
Too much cheer. Too much holiday cheer. You need to go back home.
What freeway was this?
This was like the 55 or something.
Oh, it was one of those, yeah, I was like, that's that a, you're not familiar
no,
with,
a
right?
It's an
Orange
with?
County.
I used to know it.
Yeah, you're talking about a highway, right?
No,
it's a freeway.
It's
a freeway.
It's just not a very big one, yeah. But yeah, it's only from like Santa Ana to Fullerton.
Does yeah, something like that.
Something like that's weird.
This podcast almost didn't exist, and my body almost turned into dust. When that happens, the head-on-head collisions at that speed, when you looked at the cars in the footage they were showing, they looked obliterated, like
a crumpled can.
Yeah, like more than half the car had become basically curved in or like non-existent. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad, for that reason, he doesn't even drive on the Like if there's like three lanes, or he always drives away from where the like the best lane. He doesn't never the center lane. He always drives on the right lane.
Oh, I see.
And that's if he used to make a left, because he says like those accidents, you're done. Like there's no, I'm pretty much done.
Wait, he drives on the right to avoid them?
Like on a regular streets, I mean, like
he stays at night, on the slower lanes.
Like at night, he stays in the slower lane because he doesn't want an oncoming drunkard to like swerve into the.
Hey, drunkard is like a slur. Did you know that?
Really? No, I'm just against who? Drunks? They're a protected group.
I'm just kidding. All right, well.
It should be, actually. We're wrong. We should edit this out in post.
According to Anheuser-Busch, they are very. They should be protected people.
Hey, podcast responsibly, people. what's the song going to be?
Oh, God. We both earlier voted for Drive. We were earlier voted for Drive by the Cars.
But that's a hilarious idea.
But we made good cases for all the other ones too. So
I'm gonna do Don't Worry Baby because it's my favorite band, and it does have the death and the sex thing.
All right,
going for it.
That works.
All right.
I'll just say yes for the sake of unanimity.
One final thing. So in The Simpsons, Homer is filling out one of those. One of those cards to win a car, and there's a girl standing next to the car, of course, with her, you know, skimpy wear, and he fills it out and he puts it in the box, and then he says, "Do you come with the car?" And she's like, "Oh, you." And then he leaves, and then some other dude comes and fills out the card and puts it back in there, and he's like, "Do you come with the car?" And she says, "Oh, you."
I remember that.
Yeah, it's classic.
And now all of those men have lost their jobs. This was Extreme Vocabulary. I'm Josh.
He's Abe.
That's Efren.
And that's Abraham.
And that was confusing.
And forget me, yeah.
you're supposed to say that's Aaron.
I threw you off.
And that's Aaron.
Good.
See you next time.